How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 36 of Preparation for Resurrection. Today's title is Proclamation of Emmanuel. Philip Yancey said, "Always, no matter the circumstances, we have the assurance of Emmanuel, which simply means God with us." Our text today is Isaiah 7:10 through 14. "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The setting of Isaiah 7 is Jerusalem under siege for the first time in history. The armies of Syria and Ephraim have taken control of the territory surrounding the city of God. In desperation, King Ahaz personally visits the upper pool to inspect the limited water supply and determine how long he thinks God's people can hold out against the enemy. It is there that Ahaz meets the prophet Isaiah and his son, Shear-Jashub. Interestingly, Isaiah's son has a God-given name, which means a remnant shall return. Isaiah's son symbolizes the message that God would send through Isaiah. It is in this context that God speaks to Ahaz and declares that God will send a Savior whose name will be Emmanuel. David McKenna and Lloyd J. Ogilvie provide excellent commentary on Isaiah 7:10 through 14. As always, God is not insensitive to Ahaz's dilemma, contrary to his usual prohibition against humans putting him to the test by asking for a sign. God takes the initiative and invites Ahaz to ask for a miraculous sign that he will show in either the depths of the sea or in the heights of the heavens. No one can ever claim that God is unfair. When he asks us to stand firm in our faith against the evidence of circumstances and our natural impulses, he will also give us a sign of his faithfulness. Ahaz knows the scriptures. Turning God's own words against him, the king answers, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." His answer comes directly from Deuteronomy 6:16, where God warns, "You shall not test the Lord your God as you tested him in Massah." The reference is to the time when the children of Israel set out across the desert under the command of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. When they discovered that the camp had no water, they demanded that God give them water as a sign of his continuing presence. After a bitter quarrel, Moses caved into their demand and struck the rock with his staff. The water flowed, but Moses named the place Massah, as a memorial to faith that requires a sign, and thereby becomes the sin of unbelief. Under the pretense of obeying God, Ahaz is actually trying to justify a decision he has already made. History is witness to his sin. He not only entered into an unnecessary alliance with Tilgad-Pileser, king of Assyria, but he also compromised his faith by swearing allegiance to Assyria's idols and modifying the altar in the temple at Jerusalem to accommodate pagan worship. As a rebuff to the king, he informs the people that God is still going to give them a sign, the sign of another child who is to be born of a virgin and named Emmanuel, or God with us. Paul Guzik reveals the magnitude of the declaration found in Isaiah 7:14. "This is one of the most famous prophecies regarding the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, in the Bible. It's also illustrating a principle of prophecy, that prophecy may have both a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment of this prophecy centered around Ahaz, Jerusalem, and the attack from Syria. Simply put, God would give Ahaz a sign of deliverance. The far or ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy goes far beyond Ahaz to announce the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because the prophecy is addressed not only to Ahaz, but also to David's entire house. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because it says the virgin shall conceive, and that conception would be a sign to David's entire house. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because it says he will be known as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This is true of Jesus not only as a title. Emmanuel speaks both of the deity of Jesus, God with us, but his identification and nearness to man, God with us. The incarnation of Jesus brings the reality of Emmanuel to every believer. God is with us no matter what circumstances we face. During your spiritual journey, take courage in knowing that you are never alone. With his constant presence, you can trust his conquering power. Consider these questions today. What does it communicate about God that he is willing to give a sign to Ahaz? What are your thoughts about the prophetic nature of Scripture to speak into both the present and the future? What does it mean to you that God is Emmanuel? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.